This is Hadley Stern of Apple Matters with Chris Seibold, and today we have podcast number 3 for June 14th, 2005. Thank you all very much for listening. How's it going there, Chris?
Pretty good. How's it up there in Boston area, is that right?
Yeah, Boston, 91 degrees today, so definitely feeling the heat, and I guess it's a good metaphor for everything that's been going on with Apple this past week. Apple fans, industry watchers definitely feeling the heat with Apple's big move to Intel chips. We're going to cover that. We're going to talk a little about the iPod. I don't know if people remember this week that Apple makes those too. And we're going to round up with some reader comments. Reader did send in an MP3 comment, which we're going to play part of towards the end of the show. And that's about it. So let's kick off with Intel. Chris, are you still standing up from shock, or sitting down, or lying down?
I'm still stunned. Watching how they're spinning the whole switch after telling us for, 10 years or more that you're getting the best software and the best hardware. Now, you get the best software and the same hardware.
Yeah, it's definitely, a huge... one almost doesn't know where to begin. I mean, the first place to begin is where this all is, which is the hardware. While you could argue that, a computer isn't just the processor, given the fact that over the years Apple has moved to, off-the-shelf parts, went from SCSI to IDE, basically the inside of an Intel Mac is going to be pretty similar to the inside of a PC. I can't really think of anything apart from marketing that's going to be any different.
It's hard to see what it's going to be. I'm sure they'll put some proprietary chip in there to keep OS X on disk apps for a while. But other than that, maybe a little different motherboard architecture, but I even doubt that because Intel did add FireWire to their chipset, so it could just be all standard PC except with a fancy box.
Yeah, it's definitely... it's going to be very hard for them to position. I didn't come up with this piece of analysis myself. I remember reading it somewhere. And I think it is probably the clearest reason for why this happened. And I think it all has to do with the laptop. Over the years, computer sales, more and more people are buying laptops as their primary machine or secondary machine and ditching the desktop. As that happened, the G5 is an irrelevant chip because they can't figure out how to jam it into a PowerBook unless, it comes with some kind of cooler that you have to schlep around on your back. I really do think that the Intel switch was all about laptops, period.
I'm sure laptops played a huge part in that, especially as Steve Jobs was spinning it about performance per watt, and really you only care about that in laptops. A lot of people would hook up a nuclear reactor straight to their house just to get 5% more performance out of their desktop. But a laptop's a different story. So yeah, I see it.
Now you were mentioning before that you had seen somewhere murmurings on the web of people managing to already run OS X, compiling it for a regular Intel chip. Is that true?
Well, my understanding, and it's been since it came out, that particular version of OS X will pretty much run on any Wintel box out there that meets its whatever its requirements are. I don't know what those are.
By that version, you mean the version that they're shipping at WWDC to developers?
Right. Yeah. For $999, you get the Intel Mac, and you have to give it back in a year. What a special deal! And apparently, someone posted it somewhere, and people are, downloading it and running it on their computers and enjoying it.
That is surreal, and it certainly begs the question, how on earth is Apple going to keep the wraps under, the only way they're going to be able to do it is with some kind of DRM solution, and we all know that's eminently crackable. So what happens to Apple's hardware business? You wrote a piece this week that got a tremendous amount of traffic and comments, and some very good comments, and definitely, I think, angered some people. And your basic premise was that Apple will be software only in 5 years.
Right, and I don't have a problem with it if they don't make the computer. A lot of people really like their computers, but if they're software only, then it's really, you don't look at your computer all that often anyway, so I mean, what's the real difference to you?
Well, I think some people, and I'm one of them, I simply love the design of the PowerBook. There's nothing in the PC world that I know of that is as well designed, has as good a fit and finish, a good a feel, a good industrial design as a PowerBook. And I think to a lot of Apple people, that is part of the appeal. Certainly there is a segment that really just wants to get the job done. I mean, let's face it, a G5 tower is not the greatest looking thing. The thing weighs a frigging ton. You know, cuts into your hand when you pick it up. It's so heavy. So I don't think there's going to be any loss there. But I do think that Apple will still have a hardware advantage. And the best reason, the best example of that is really the iPod. The Creative makes MP3 players. They play music. The UI is horrible. And the industrial design is horrific. iPod does the same thing, but just does it better. It's a better experience. So hopefully that advantage will hold. But you could be right. I mean, there could be no... maybe Apple won't be hardware only, but it maybe from a profit standpoint, it will be software only.
It could be. I'm kind of agnostic on that. I don't really have a dog in that fight. I like OS X. The interesting thing is if people start to pirate it, will that increase their market share? If this is a timed release 10.4.1 for the Pentium that dies in a year, will that make people want to go out and buy it? Buy a Mac? And people worry a lot about piracy just running on a plain white box, but if they make it hard enough so that only the geeky people can do it, then people still be back buying Apple computers because you're not going to want to get in there with a soldering iron or whatever and try to work around it that way.
Especially if it's not supported. I mean, you're right in that it will only be the geeky people, but it still is, I think, rolling the dice because the more complicated computers get, the more common those geeks are out there, and they also become a large part of the market. But on the other hand, the big argument over the years for people not buying Macs has been price point, right? That's the reason why clones were so popular. People didn't buy... If a clone was the same price as an Apple product, and I actually owned a UMax, and I remember thinking, well, I could get the Apple, but the UMax is like $300 cheaper. I'm going to get the UMax. It's the same chip. It runs, Macintosh software. If Apple, with the Intel chip, is able to erase the price discussion, then why would someone buy a Dell versus an Apple?
Well, to be honest, I don't know why people buy Dells instead of Apples now, but that's just me.
Well, I think it's safe to say, as people who write for Apple Matters, that we would find it very hard to... why people would buy a Dell. So, it's hard to understand, but certainly as Apple's, one argument is price. They go to Walmart and they see that they can get a computer for $300-$400. Hopefully the Macs will be... They're really... Now there is no reason for a difference in cost in the hardware. Right?
Honestly, I don't think there's been a reason for a while. From what I understand, the G5 chip was cheaper than Intel chips, and Apple doesn't really make many computers anymore, except maybe the Xserve. They farm it out to Asian companies, where a lot of people farm out their computer building, so I'm not sure what the difference in price is right now. So I'm going to suspect there's still going to be a price difference in the future.
It'll be interesting to see. Speaking of price differences and hardware, let's skip over to the iPod. It is one of the things when Derek Story interviewed for Apple Matters, one of the things that I liked that he said was that the reason why he liked Tiger so much was because it reminded the world that Apple is not just a company that makes iPods. The iPod is a fantastic product. I love it. Heck, I even wrote a book about it called iPod and iTunes Hacks that I'm sure all of you out there own, and if you don't, you will go out and buy it right after this. But seriously, you know, the iPod is fantastic. But it almost is like it didn't really exist this week, and certainly the huge story is this Apple on Intel. But I think actually the two may be strangely tied together. And this is my theory, that one of the other reasons that Apple is moving to Intel, apart from the fact that the PowerPC won't get fast enough, you can't put it in laptops, is because Intel provides a wide variety of chips for mobile devices, including perhaps the next generation iPod. What do you think of that?
I think that's quite likely. I don't own an iPod. I read your book, so I contributed. Excellent, excellent book. But I'm always tempted to get one. It's just right now I don't have a function I need it for. If they come out with, you know, where you could put movies on it and stream them to and play them on your TV or something, I'm first in line.
Yeah, I think that is going to happen. And what is also interesting in geek circles to see is that really the PSP, portable PlayStation, has really come to replace, in many geek circles, the wow factor in terms of where the iPod was, say, a year, 18 months ago. Now all you hear is PlayStation.
It's hard to maintain that wow factor for what? How long has it been out? 5 or 6 years?
It came out just after, oddly enough, just after 9/11. So I believe it was October 2001.
So, 4 years.
So yeah, it's been a while, though it didn't really pick up momentum, I don't think, until about 18 months ago. One of the other things I'm trying to figure out is whether the iPod has jumped the shark. Something that I was thinking of writing about, that expression coming from TV shows that are no longer it.
Right.
I'm not sure that it has yet. I'm not sure if it hasn't yet reached its core potential.
I would guess from, you know, just people I interact with, that the coolness factor may have made like Fonzie and jump the shark, but the utility factor is still there, and people still see it as just the best music player they can get. And I'm not sure people are overly impressed with the photo capabilities or anything, but it's still, I think people see it kind of like they see maybe Toyota cars, if you like Toyota cars, just the best, reliable, easy to use music player you can find. It might not have the cool factor it used to have, but want to have, got to have factor.
Yeah, it's even, I think, beyond Toyota. But I do think that Apple needs to do something soon to sustain the iPod. The iTunes Music Store is a fantastic experience, but there are products out there, and it really frustrates me. One of them is Sonos Media Player. I don't know if you've ever seen this. They had it at Macworld. It's fantastic. It's something that Apple should be making. It's something I think they should have had on the market a year ago.
Well, you know why they don't now. They're working on Intel Macs.
This is definitely the case. Chris, any other thoughts before we wrap up our third podcast?
No, it should be an interesting week. I'm looking forward to see what people write on Apple Planners this week.
Yep, actually, it will definitely be an interesting week, so make sure you come back and check the site. This has been our third podcast. Thanks a lot for all your comments. Keep them coming. And I actually want to figure out a way to allow audio comments on this podcast, so if anyone has any ideas about that, send them on in. As promised, here is a comment, our first podcast comment, from Jonathan Tarood. He sent in a .mov file. A little long, Jonathan, so we edited some of it out, but we really appreciate the feedback. And readers, send in your snippets, MP3 or .mov files, and we'll make sure to incorporate in the next podcast.
Hi, guys from Apple Matters. I just heard your podcast and I thought it was good. These are actually the only two podcasts I've ever heard. I've heard about it like in the news and through the websites and everything, but I've never actually got the time to listen to one. And I like the fact that you guys discussed several things, like predictions and all that. I don't know if I'm right or wrong about this. I've only been like a Mac fan since November when I got my first one. Well, perhaps since December 2003 when I got my first iPod. That's why I switched. And it would be nice if you guys like made conferences with Skype, for instance. You can make a conference with Skype and record it through Audio Hijack Pro. You could record it like that, and you could have people all over the country, you know, giving information and sharing it, and it would make it more dynamic, and the sound quality might turn up much better, because your sound quality is not that good. I can hear, like the last podcast, I could hear cars in the back or something. So yeah, that'd be nice to hear a more decent sound. There you can hear a lot of echoes and all that. I don't actually download it to the iPod. I just keep it and hear it from the Mac. Alright guys. Hope you continue up the good work, and hope to hear from you soon.